This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. I'm Ebon Udama. Connecticut families respond to U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s claims about autism.
I think in general, researchers agree that the environment may be a factor in autism, but it is likely to be sort of a very minor piece of the picture.
That's Laura Tillman, the Connecticut Mirror's Human Services reporter. She's done a deep dive into why some Connecticut families, scientists, and healthcare providers worry that RFK Jr.'s rhetoric may be creating renewed stigma around the autistic. More to come after this.
Hi, I'm Bruce Putterman, publisher of the Connecticut Mirror. Here at the Connecticut Mirror, we do more than just cover the news. As a statewide news organization, we connect people. We introduce people from Wilton to people in Willimantic. We show New London residents what they have in common with New Milford residents. We connect folks in North Branford with folks in North Canaan. If you believe in the importance of connecting people throughout the state, please make a donation to CT Mirror today. Thank you.
Hello, Laura. How did this story about Connecticut families and their reaction to RFK's comments about the autistic, how did the story come about?
So I think like a lot of people, after RFK held a press conference in April about autism numbers and more broadly about this effort to find an environmental cause of autism, I saw a video that was posted online with some of the cast members of Love on the Spectrum, which is a Netflix reality show about people with autism spectrum disorder who are dating, who are looking for relationships, and some of the cast members of that show were speaking out about language in RFK's comments that they found offensive. And it just made me think that there might be a bigger story to be told about how this rhetoric and some of these actions might be impacting people.
So how did you find Emma and Pamela McKeever?
I just let it be known through a contact I had who has a son with autism that I was searching for someone to speak to. I was looking for contacts and basically, you know, just looking for people in that community who might want to talk with me.
So what was the reaction of the McKeevers? First, tell us a little bit about them.
So Pamela and Emma live in Glastonbury, and Emma is an artist. She lives at home with her parents, and she and her mom do a lot of different artistic projects together. And they had some, you know, strong feelings about some of RFK's comments, which prompted Emma to write a poem, and also Pamela wrote her own poem, in fact, kind of in response to some of the things that RFK said, including one of his comments was that, you know, these are children who will never write a poem.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a quote you have here. If you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism.
And yeah, exactly.
And tell us a little bit about that that quote itself.
Yeah, so this is a quote from Dr. Stephen Shore, who is an autism, you know, specialist, and I think it's something that you often hear talking to people, whether they're in this community or people who are part of the advocacy broader community around autism. You know, autism is not a condition that you can see in, you know, a genetic test the way that you might see Down syndrome or some other conditions. It's more something that's diagnosed based on behavior, and it really is an incredibly broad category. Years ago, there were more subcategories in terms of, you know, Asperger's and but now all of these things are classified as autism. And so it's not a terribly descriptive term in the sense that autism can mean a lot of different things.
Now, RFK, in his comments at the press conference, seemed to indicate that there was some environmental cause to autism and that there'd probably be a cure in the next few months. What does the community feel about those statements?
Yeah, I think just to clarify, he saying that they would identify the cause within the next few months, not necessarily a cure, but I think that even so, it's sort of seems, you know, for people who have been studying this for a long time, there's been a tremendous amount of effort to find the cause, and the research predominantly points to a genetic biological set of causes. So it may not be as clear cut as something like Down syndrome, but there is, you know, a preponderance of evidence talking to scientists who study this that it is primarily something that is genetic rather than environmental. There have been some isolated studies that have shown that a particular, you know, toxin in a particular place has led to a higher incidence of autism, but I think in general, researchers agree that the environment may be a factor in autism, but it is likely to be sort of a very minor piece of the picture. And so that is a concern, I think, also in part because the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has for many years focused in on the possibility that vaccines could be a cause for autism. And so I think there is concern about, you know, continuing to stoke that belief and the fact that that could have very serious effects on people not vaccinating their children. And that those effects can be deadly, whereas, you know, there is no research, there isn't a significant amount of mainstream research, or I should say that scientists in general don't believe that there's any link between vaccines and autism in the mainstream.
However, it seems from most of the people you talked with, that they're happy that attention is being paid to this. However, they're concerned that it might not be the proper type of attention. Would I be correct in saying that?
I think you know, some people might feel. I did speak to one woman, you know, whose son has more significant challenges related to his autism, and she did feel, you know, this gratification that at least there was sort of this renewed burst of attention, and I heard that echoed in comments from other people that they had kind of heard that from, you know, some people in this community. But I think in general there is a real concern that the type of attention that is being paid is potentially, you know, damaging, creating renewed stigma around autism diagnosis. And I think it's important to note that, you know, more kids are being screened for autism than ever before. And so that is part of the picture of the increase in diagnosis. And that can actually really benefit those children and their families, you know, if a child is diagnosed early and they're able to get, whether it's, you know, educational interventions or therapies that help them manage some of the behaviors and sensory issues that can be associated with autism, that it can really help them thrive over their lifespan. And so this idea of wanting to kind of avoid a diagnosis or avoid being part of this community because there's this renewed burst of stigma and attention, I think is something that people are concerned about.
And also something that you say people are concerned about is the fact that some of the services have been cut in the elimination of waste, fraud, and abuse by the Department of Government Efficiency. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so some services have been cut that benefited the elderly and disabled already, and then there are concerns about other services. You know, there has been this effort to dismantle the Department of Education, and a lot of the federal funding that states receive from the Department of Education goes towards special education. So that is a major concern. And then there's also concerns about, you know, services. If there were to be major cuts to Medicaid, there's already been a number of autism-related NIH grants that have been canceled, and so there's just a lot of cuts that have kind of deteriorated the support for this issue from the federal government, but there's also concerns about whether more could be coming.
Mm. How about a concern about the fact that RFK, in his comments, has talked about creating some type of tracking system for people with autism and having a database?
Yeah, so the database idea, I think it's still a little bit unclear what it would actually do or be, but that is part of what is alarming to people is, you know, is this a tracking system or is this anonymized data collection? I think that the sort of stated purpose of this is to look for an environmental cause of autism and to sort of look at whether there are commonalities that can be identified among people with autism that could lead to some kind of scientific advance in terms of understanding the cause. But when I spoke to one of the researchers at Yale who studies this issue, you know, he did say that there is already a database that collects information about people with autism spectrum disorder. And it does so, you know, according to U.S. laws in which that, you know, the data is anonymized and people have to choose to opt into this. So it's kind of unclear why there would need to be another database or what RFK is seeking to find that can't be found through the scientific data that already exists. That is accessible to researchers already who are studying this issue. And I think that just the language around this idea of a database is really alarming to people. And it's one of the main things that I heard from people that I spoke to and also just people who interact with this community is there's a lot of fear around this idea of tracking, like you said, the possibility that this could be used for some kind of tracking or whether this is, you know, something that people would not be able to opt out of if they don't want to be a part of it. So that's definitely part of, you know, his comments and his plans that have in particular inspired a lot of concern. And it is part of what's driving some parents to not want their children to be diagnosed at all because they don't want them to be on this database.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Laura. Really appreciate your doing this.
Thank you.
Laura Tillman is the Connecticut Mirror's Human Services reporter. Long Story Short is hosted by me, Ebong Udama, and produced by Molly Ingram. Harriet Jones is our editor. WSHU's Alicia Daddario and the Connecticut Mirror's Gabby DeBenedictis are our digital team. This podcast is a collaboration between the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. We go behind the scenes at the home of public policy journalism in Connecticut. More can be found online at ctmirror.org and wshu.org. Our episodes can be found wherever you get your podcasts.